Shavua Tov, world. Today's daf in Mesechet Zevachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Vav. And I think it's worthwhile, because of the break, to begin from Daf Hei on the base, so we can get smack bang into the sugya again. And let's start with Yasvei Rav Nachman v'Rav Sheshes, v'Yosef Rav Ada Bar Masna Gabayu. So anyway, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes were sitting around, and they were saying, you know, Rebbe Elazar, who answered Reish Lakish, by remember that Reish Lakish was very confused. He said, it doesn't make any sense to me. If the Korban isn't achieving anything, so why is it being brought? So Rebbe Elazar said to him, well, you know, we find that there are Korbanos that are brought Liachar Misa, and they're not Meratzim, and nonetheless they're Kasher. So why didn't Reish Lakish say to him, what kind of answer is that? My question is exactly on those things. Why don't those Korbanos that are brought Liachar Misa, why do they not actually bring about a Kapara for the Yorshim? The heirs should be the one who get the Kapara. Why not? In other words, what gave Rebbe Elazar the right to assume, and why indeed did Reish Lakish accept it, that, well, they certainly not going to be Bechaper, because they can't be Bechaper on the dead, and they can't be Bechaper on the Yorshim. Why not? They could be Bechaper on the Yorshim. So Rav Ada Bar Masna had been sitting there, said, what are you talking about? How could they possibly be Bechaper on the Yorshim? The whole basis of the Pasuk of the Chiev of the Yorshim to bring, that whole Mishnah was talking about a woman who was a Yoledet, and the difference between bringing her chatas while she was alive and leaving over her oila that she didn't get a chance to bring before she died and so on. I mean, how in the world is it possible to talk about the heirs of a yoledet who should now be able to be mitchaper, but the korban of the yoledet, I mean, they didn't have any babies. So, imi yelda, b'neam yeldu. I mean, if you were talking about something else, all right, but I mean, this is ridiculous. The chattas of a yoledas to ask why Reish Lakish didn't say it would be mechaper on them. Well, of course it's not mechaper on them. They didn't have any babies, did they? Mati Floravasi, well, wait a minute. That's not the point. The point over here is that, of course, it's not going to be mechaper on them for having a baby, but it could be mechaper on them in general, because who's to say, man lemala diika kama asegaba, let's say that there were various chiyuvim that she had, and she was over on a mitzvah asay, how do you know that she wouldn't have gotten a kapora along with the oila? I mean, because remember, basically, an oila is mechaper. It says so. It says v'nir tzolo lechaper alav. Now, that's very strange, because there is no chiev to bring an oila. So it says v'nir tzolo lechaper alav. It can't be referring to any type of chataim that we have specific chiyuvim for, like the osham and the chatas and the various issues that are explained in the, all over the Torah, what it is you need to do. If there's a chi of misa, a chi of kores, a chi of lav, which type of lav. So what is the eila coming for? The only thing that's left that isn't given a kapar is chi of yase, and chi of lav hanitak lase, which is essentially an ase in terms of a chumrah. Now, if Lamaisa, she could have been mitkaperet on things that were not the reason she was bringing this oila. This oila was being brought specifically because it was the chiyuv for her to bring as a yoledet. But that doesn't mean it's limited to only being mechaper those things. So it would be mechaper like any carbon oila, v'nir tzolei lechaper alav, achiyuv yase, and lavanita klase, which certainly this woman before she died may have had. And therefore, the Yorshim also, I don't know, maybe they miss Kriyat Shema, you know, so they would be able to get a kapara from that carbon. So it's still makes perfectly good sense. What are you telling me? They didn't have babies. That's not the issue. Now wait a minute. The question is based on the Yorshim being able to get a kapara, but nobody gets a kapara if it's not their karban. So why are you assuming that the Yorshim would get a kapara? Are you claiming that actually they would be the owners of it? They're not the owners. If they're not the owners, how would it be a kapara for them? Lamemer de Kanyelu? would they actually be the owners? The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, he niach mincha v'shnei banav umet. Let's say a man had set aside a korban mincha that he was going to bring. He dies before he was capable of bringing it. And, I shouldn't say capable, before he was able to bring it. And there were two heirs. So now, what's the din? The din is, says Rabbi Yochanan, that the heirs bring it. But wait, how can the heirs bring it if you're not allowed to bring a mincha as a shutaf? Well, says Rabbi Yochanan, it's not a problem. Kreva ve'in bo shutafut. They don't own it. And since they don't own it, they're not shutafim. So if you're going to tell me, if you're going to tell me that they do own it, so then they shouldn't be able to bring it. Because after all, the Torah says, specifically when it comes to the korban mincha, it's a nefesh kitakri mincha. It's only a nefesh, meaning an individual. They're only nefesh kitakriv korban mincha l'Hashem. And they are not a single nefesh. Must be, therefore, that they don't own it. So they are simply acting as the estate, and therefore there's no shutafut. So then, what's your problem? There's no way that he could have said to them, well, yes, the carbon should be mechaper on the yorshim if the yorshim don't own it. Wait a minute. How can you? You're telling me that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're not kind of it, but it's clear that you are kind of it. Because didn't Rabbi Yochanan himself say, if somebody left over a carbon, a behemoth, and he had two sons, and he died, and now they inherit that carbon, they can bring that carbon, but they cannot make a tmura of that carbon. Now, if you're going to tell me that the two sons actually own it, so then that would explain why they can't make a tmura. Remember, a tmura is when you take a carbon and you say, when it doesn't have a mum and you're not doing a pidyon, you take another animal and you say, this one should be in place of that one. That's an iser d'oraisa. And it then is that both hu utmurato yakodesh. But here, they're unable to actually effectuate a tmura. So why? Because if they actually do own it, so then it's a partnership. And the din is that partnerships cannot actually create a tmura. But if you're going to tell me they're not kaina, which you just said that you just proved ostensibly, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that they're not koneit, and that's the reason that you can bring a mincha that was left over by the parent, so then they should be able, the same way they can bring a mincha that can only be brought by one person, not by a partnership, so then they should be able to actually make a tmura, which in this case there's no partnership. No, this case, this is different, you see. Even if they're not koneit, they have the same limitations that a partnership would have because of Gzerat HaKatuv. In the same way that a partnership cannot create a tmura, so too two heirs, despite the fact that they're not a legal partnership and that they're standing in locum, the actual estate, they're exactly in the same position of not being able to make a tmura because of Gzerat HaKatuv. Because since the basis of the Yoresh is Im Hamer Yamir, so it's the same extension in the singular, which is the basis of the whole idea that there is no din of a partnership in the whole sugya of Tamura. So if it's written the same way that the rest of the sugya is, and it's just an extension of the original Tamurim, Hamer Yamir, so then essentially it's telling us that even where we're marred by the Yoresh, just like two partners cannot be creating a tmura, so too two yorshim cannot create a tmura, not because they're partners, but because there are two yorshim. And this specific pasuk indicates that only a yochid yoresh is able to create a tmura, so it's not a problem. Matkifor v'yakum in harpa kod. Whoa, that's wild. I mean, are you trying to tell me that wherever we're going to use that loshan of a loshon yachid in the singular, and you're going to be marba something with it, so it means that only a single person can do it? I mean, we have the same thing, let's say, by maaser sheni. What's it din over there? It says, ve'im go'ol yig'al. So if somebody comes to be poda his maasrot, So then, Ve'yosif chamishito alav, he has to add one-fifth, if he's the owner. Are you trying to tell me that if Go'ol Yig'al is there in order to be marba the Yoresh, if the father left over food that the children need to be Moresh, so the din is that if there's two children, so then they can't actually be putted, or Maisa Sheni? I mean, nobody in their right mind would ever think that. I've never heard of such a thing. No, there's no comparison. The idea of Ima Mer Yamir was that it was an extension of the status that existed at the time of the life of the father. In the same way that if he had a partner, he wouldn't have been able to be Meimir. So we're saying if there's a partner, not partnership in ownership, there's a partner to the Yerusha, it's an extension of the same din. But over here, let's say it's an extension of the same din. A father can certainly own agricultural goods that are mechayev him and meiser, and he's paid a meiser together with the shutef. So why in the world would the heir be any different than the father? That's the point. Of course, it doesn't mean wherever we use the language of Lashon Zachar, it means only Zachar. That's not the issue. Anyway, so getting back now to the question. So we're saying that essentially he would be able, this Yoresh would be able to create a Tmura if he's alone. So that confuses me also. Says Ravasi to Ravashi, but that very Pasuk, Umina, from that Pasuk that you were bringing me, I can actually prove that they do own. How? Because, look, if you're going to tell me that, in general, Yoresh owns what the father left over in a korban, so then that would explain why, if he's a single Yoresh, forget about the problem if there's two, forget about this whole question of partnerships. In order to make a tmura, I got news for you. You have to be the one that is actually going to be mitchaper with this korban. If you're not a mitchaper, if you're not the one for whom the korban is being brought, you cannot make a tmura anyway. So if the only problem is the fact that there's two heirs, then that itself proves that if there's one heir, that heir can make a tmura, and therefore, by definition, he is the object of the kapara of this carbon, which proves that he does own it. So you're running around in circles here. Because look, if you're going to tell me that he owns it, so fine, then that explains why, if there's only one heir, so at least in that case, he could create a tmura. But if you're going to tell me that he doesn't own it at all, so then no single heir would be able to make a tmura. Why are we discussing two heirs? If you've got a need to determine who is the one who is active in various inyanim. Let's talk about the chiyuv of adding a chomesh, right? So who is the one who is considered to be the owner, where there's a halacha that if the owner is poda a korban, he has to add a fifth, which is 25%, to the value, which is a fifth of the total, which is how we paskin, to the amount of money. What defines the person who is going to be adding that fifth? Well, the definition of the Baalim is actually Hamakdish, because it says that all the time. Im Hamakdish Podeh. So Im Hamakdish, this we find by the dinim of the Steachuza, and this is the din in the Bayis, which was given to Hegdash. So in all of these cases, it says the one who was Makdish, he's the one that has to add the 25%. Okay, who makes the Tmura? The Im Hamer Yamiroto. Suppose I pay for somebody else's carbon who needed a kapara. Is it mine in terms of the dinim of Tmura, and I'm the one who effectuates it, or is it the person for whom I said it should be mechaper? The din is, it's the mitchaper, not the guy who paid for it, and that we learn from the pasuk. Okay? So that's the mitchaper. And somebody who takes from his peros, and he takes off truma for somebody else's peros, who is the one that gets the tovatana'a? The Tovat Hana'ah is the right of determining which carbon, Kohen, it's going to be given to. And that is actually worth money because, I mean, suppose somebody comes to the Kohen and says to him, look, I'm not a Kohen, but it comes to Yisrael. I'm not a Kohen, but actually, I've got a grandson who's a Kohen. My daughter married a Kohen. So how about if I pay you 10% of the value of your truma, you give it to my grandson. That's worth money. The Kohen, the Yisrael's allowed to take that. That is called very good money. It's called Tovat Hana'ah. Who owns that Tovat Hana'ah? The one who actually gave the truma, whose peros were used. Anyway, look, what bothers me is the part about the mitchaperos et tmura. The only one who can make the tmura is the person who's getting the kapora. So now you're trying to tell me, first, when I told you, let it be a kapora for the heir. You told me, no, the heir doesn't own it, and therefore it can't be a kapora. And then you're proving to me that he doesn't own it, because if he did own it, then he would be a partner. What are we talking about, partner? It says over here that the heir makes a tmura unless there are two heirs, right? But in order to make a tmura, you have to be the one who's getting the kapora. So then you're telling me that you are the mitchaper. So make up your mind. So what's the din over here? Ah, no. It's not the same. You have to understand that there are two different definitions of the mechaper, okay? There's the idea of the actual carbon is coming for this purpose. That's called kiva. Kiva is the lashon of kavua. This is what the carbon is for. Well, the carbon is not for the heir. That's for sure. And therefore, Reish Lakish would never have said, well, bring it for him. It's not for him. It's not a kapora for him. However, someone who through that person, a carbon is brought, actually has a level of kapora that is called mikufya. Kufya, the literal meaning of kufya is floating, meaning that it's sort of it comes along, it's not in the thing, it's floating above it, so to speak. So from the impact of being the one who brings the carbon, there is a kapara for me. But that's not a level of explaining why I'm bringing the carbon. I can't bring a carbon for something that's mikufya, because the whole point of mikufya is that since I'm supposed to be bringing the carbon on something, so mikufya is mechaper on other things. But in this case, it is not enough for him to be called the actual purpose of the carbon, but still he is getting a kapora, and therefore he's able to make a tmura. So these two issues are not necessarily the same. We're going to talk about this a little bit later, because it's very nogea, the Hilchas Tshuva discussions, for those of you who has spent the time learning Hilchas Tshuva, I will point out to you the incredible implications here in terms of Hilchas Tshuva. But in any event, going at it. Ibailo. Question. These karbanas that are being brought shelo lishma, and it says they're still considered to be a proper karban, except for a chatas and a pesach. But they're not eila l'shem balim. But were they mechaper? Or were they not mechaper? Was it mechaper on the sin? Or was it not mechaper on the sin? Okay, so I mentioned to you the inyan of how this ties into Hilchas Tshuva. And now that we're in Tzvachim, you can finally understand the Rambam's description of somebody who brings a korban. Ve'echemevi korbanosa. At the time when he brings his carbon, if he's misvada, so then that carbon is mechaper on him. But if he's not misvada, so then the carbon is not mechaper on him, right? Because he says, without the vidui, eino mischaper lo bekarbonai, it's not a kapar for him with his carbon. But people misunderstand the Rambam. The Rambam's not saying you can bring another carbon. You can't bring another carbon. The carbon was brought. You don't have another opportunity to bring the carbon. But that's because the carbon isn't being brought for you. The carbon is being brought for your chait. So if you didn't say vidui, you're not going to be the one that gets the kapara from that carbon. Now, so therefore, the question in the Gemara is very straightforward, according to the Rambam. Okay, but lemaisa, was there a kapara on the chait? It's just the fact that this guy didn't get the kapara, because remember, we define many different levels of kapara, one of which is for the fact that you created the chait. The other one is on the chait, which has nothing to do with who created it. There's chilul, that's why the Rambam begins, remember, Hilchos Teshuva, with the words, kol mitzvot sheba Torah ben aseh ben lo taseh. It's about the mitzvah. It's not about you. So now the question, that's why it says that incredibly awkward grammatical construct, kol mitzvot sheba Torah ben aseh ben lo taseh, im avar adam al achad meyam. I mean, a five-year-old doesn't write like that. You write, im avar adam al achad mitzvot Torah ben aseh ben lo taseh. I mean, but how, because the topic, you see, the subject is the mitzvah, not you. And therefore, the point over here is, your part of the kapara in terms of the responsibility for doing the chait, when you bring that kapara on the chait, you can also get a kapara for the fact that you were the one who did the chait. If you don't say vidui, then you cannot apply the act of bringing the carbon to yourself, but you are only applying it to the chait. That's what the Gemara is asking now. So, lemaisa, did it work for the chait or not? So when we say it's not oila lebaalim, does that mean that it still went ahead and was mechaper, just that the baalim didn't get anything out of it? Now, the inverse is true when it comes to the mikufya, because what this means is that in the act of your being the one responsible for bringing the carbon, you can apply that carbon to yourself, right? So therefore, even an heir, if he is the one that is bringing the carbon, it's not for him, but it's for whatever it was meant to be brought. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't get a mikufya, because he was the modality of what allowed that carbon to be brought, you see? So the two elements here in the Gemara are deeply interrelated with the connection of the carbon in terms of its various dargas of kaporas. This is also part of the mikufya, the lo mikiva. Just keep it in mind next time you do Hilchos Teshuva, tomorrow, of course. So next time you review Hilchos Teshuva, you'll remember this sugya in Zvachim. Anyway, so Rav Shisha Bereidu Ravidi said, well, I mean, it makes sense to say that it was not mechaper, because if it was mechaper, why are we bringing the one? It wasn't, he wasn't Yotze. Okay, so if he wasn't Yotze, so then that means he has to bring another carbon. But what is he bringing that carbon for? Sheni lama hiba. Why in the world does he mechuyev to bring that one if it was already mechaper? The Yisak Adaitach Kibur. If they were not mechaper, so what are they coming for at all? Lo kibru. That what you're saying? So then lama hu karev. Why is it being brought? All you're doing is flipping the problem back to the other one. I mean, why does it make more sense that way? Why does it make more sense that the first one is coming for no purpose than that the second one is coming for no purpose? No, Omer Pashi, that doesn't matter. You have to understand. Rav Shisha Bereidu Ravidi is saying like this. Hachlika kasha. If you're going to tell me that the first carbon that was brought shelo lishma was actually not mechaper on the chait, then I understand why the first one is brought. Because it was originally set aside to be brought, and therefore it was mikayach lishma. I'm bringing it because it had actually been committed to be brought for this purposes. So once I'm doing it, so I finish it, even though, I mean, it's not a posel carbon, so even though it's not achieving its initial goal, but it made sense that the original Hegdash was there for a very good purpose. But if you're going to tell me that the first one, so then the Sheni comes along to be Mechaper. But if you're going to tell me that the first one was Mechaper, so then why am I bringing the second one in the first place? I shouldn't do anything with it, because you're telling me I already took care of whatever the purpose was. Okay, I understand that logic. Now, Let me ask you something else. You're bringing a carbon oila. Now, you're telling me that that carbon oila is mechaper on anything that you happen to have owed a kapara for, right? That's what you said. You said, like, well, who's to say that if this woman didn't have various chatoim of a mitzvah saseh or a lavanita klaseh, who's to say she wouldn't get a kapara while she's bringing her carbon? She would. That's what you said. So when you say that, when I bring a carbon oila, that it's sort of mechaper across the board, is it mechaper only on those things that I already had done wrong at the time that I set it aside as an oila? Or even if I did things afterwards, it would be mechaper anything that I did wrong up until that point? How do we understand it? Is it that the oila is being brought for these things as the original hafrasha for the oila? Or is this idea of being mechaper on things sort of mikufya or agav along the way, is it just the fact that I brought it, but not that it was set aside in a way that the oila extends over everything? How do I look at it? I mean, I could look at it the same way I look at a carbon chatas. I mean, obviously, if I bring a carbon chatas, so a chatas is only being brought for the chet that I did, which I then go and bring the chatas for, right? So a chatas, obviously, mi amrina mi nedavi a chatas. In the same way that a carbon chatas, by definition, cannot be mechaper on something that I did wrong after I already set aside the chatas. It's only the konim afrasha, only what was there before I made it a chatas. That's what it's coming to be mechaper on. But it's not going to be mechaper on something that I do afterwards. Va'achar afrasha lo, it has to be chataso, only hoda elav chataso asher chata. So fine, it's the idea of the chet that was mechay of the chatas. Once it's mechay of the chatas, that's what this chatas is for. So same thing should be true over here. If I'm bringing an oila, so it's going to be mechaper on things that existed as a chiyav of kapara at the time that I was mafresh it to be a korban oila. But li'achar hafrasha lo? Or it's not like a chatas. What kind of argument is that? A chatas is a chiyav for this chet. And I'm a chiyav to bring a chatas for every single chet separately, right? So I'll call chet for chet. Boila to yechoda chatas. But over here, I don't have to bring the oila at all for any of these things. It's just if I have these chatoyim and I bring an oila, it's mechaper. So then maybe since automatically mechaper. So the question is, it still stands. Is it mechaper when I bring it? Or is it mechaper because when I set it aside to be a carbon, it's a carbon for everything that I had done wrong. But if I do anything wrong after that point, then it's not going to be included. David Solomon.
How do we know that it's the Hafrasha?
We don't. We're asking. We know the Hafrasha. We know from the Chatas because it says, Oho da'i lav chatato ve'vi. But the question is about the oila, we don't know. Well, I can prove the answer very straightforward. Toshma. Look at this, Brita. Tell me what you think it means. The Pasuk says something very strange. V'samach yado al rosh ha'ola v'nirtzala l'chaper alav. You can lower your hand, right? So if it says over here that the person who's bringing the oila puts his hand on top of the oila, which David finished already, and now he does smicha. And strangely enough, it says, v'nirtzel l'chaper alav, which sounds like, if you did the smicha, then the carbon oila will be mechaper on you. Now, that's crazy. I mean, we know that smicha is not the source of the kapara. The dam is the source of the kapara. So the chismicha mechaperet, is it the smicha that brings kapara that you should say v'nirtzel l'chaper alav? V'halo en kapara ela b'dam. So it says beferish, it's dafka, the dam, which is the zrika, is the kapara. So why does the Torah say v'samach v'nirtza l'chaper? It's teaching me that if you treat that smicha as if it's a shiore mitzvah. It's like leftovers. Yeah, okay, fine. You know, one day I'll get around to it, maybe. So you're treating it like it's just shirayim? The Torah looks at you as if you didn't bring your kapara, but in reality you did. So what do you mean in reality looks at you? What the heck is that supposed to mean? I mean, I'm assuming it means something defined, right? So my love, what it's saying is that ma lava lava katuv kilu lo kiper, that benogeya the chait of the ase, which was kedem hafrasha, it was mechaper. But the fact that you were over on the ase of smicha, which comes after the hafrasha, that's what it's saying. On that, you were not mechaper. So ki'ilu lo kiper, on the other things that otherwise you would have been mechaper on subsequently, but you were mechaper on the original. So what does that mean? Lo kiper ase de smicha, why not? Because the smicha is le'achar hafrasha. So that proves that le'achar hafrasha, the oila actually is not going to be mechaper. Amar Rava, no, that doesn't prove anything. A crazy place to bring a raya from. You're bringing a raya from the essay of smicha? The essay of smicha is irrelevant. Because if you hadn't done the shchita yet, you still can do the smicha. So until you actually do the shchita, then you haven't been over on the essay of smicha. And after you did the shchita, well, we weren't asking about whether it's mechaper on something you did after shchita. We were only asking whether it's mechaper on something that you did after hafrasha. But this is not something that you did after hafrasha. This is something that you did after the shchita. So it's irrelevant to the question as raised. Let's see that inside. I say the smicha, comrade. You're asking from the s of the smicha itself. Of course, that's irrelevant, because shani hatam, you're not over on that essay of smicha. Kokama de lo shachit. As long as you haven't done the shchita, you're still supposed to be doing that smicha. The amod smoch koi. So emas koi asay. Where's the essay now? Chal liachas shchita. But we never asked what the din would be la'achar shchita. We only asked what would be the din la'achar hafrasha. La'achar shchita lo kami boilana. You didn't answer our question. Omele Ravuna bar Yehuda l'Rava. I don't see that the way you understood this braita has anything to do with anything over here. It doesn't, I mean, you're saying, doesn't it mean ki'ilu lo kiper v'kiper? You know, that means it wasn't mechaper for smicha. I don't think it means that. I'm sorry. I think it means that the keeper, meaning, yes, you did get your kapara. But when we say, that could include the smicha too. But when we say ki'ilu lo keeper, it means that as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, you didn't make me very happy. And so, therefore, in terms of what it is, we're talking about ritzui. I mean, you think you're being maratza me by doing the mitzvah wrong? I mean, yeah, technically speaking, you were mechaper for, like, whatever the carbon's supposed to bring. I'll show you that this idea of ki'ilu lo kiper v'kiper actually means that type of thing. It doesn't mean what you say. It doesn't mean you were mechaper on the other things, but not on the smicha. No, it's sort of like a moral statement. So technically speaking, you got a kapara. But in terms of the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to what it is that you did, which is the word ritzui, it's meratze, v'nirtzelo. Ritzui means feeling close. Foreplay is called ritzui. So it's saying it's not meratze. That's the point. I mean, look, we see exactly the same thing in the Mishnah of Negoyim, okay? The din over there is that the Kohen puts, remember, the Shemen that is being brought by the Mitzrayim. So he brings the Shemen of the Asham Mitzrayim, and he puts it on the guy's thumb and his toe and his ear and so on. And then the leftovers he's supposed to put on the guy's head, right? So it says over there והנותר מן השמן אשר על כף הכהן ייתן על ראש המטהר לכפר עליו לפני השם. But if he's got any leftovers of that oil, then whatever was on his palm, he rubs it in the guy's head. And that is lechaper alav, which is the same crazy kind of idea. What do you mean, lechaper alav? Which is saying that what? If the Kohen puts the oil on his head, which the oil over here was only shirayim, right? So then he's mechaper. But if not, he wasn't mechaper. Even though Natan, low keeper, says Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, how could it mean that? These are only shiore mitzvah. This is not, it never said, it says the leftovers. It said specifically, hanotar min hashemetz. How could it be the chefza of the kapora? So obviously, by calling it hanotar, you're telling me, bein nitan, bein lo nitan keeper. The kapora was the same. But ma'alina lovkilo lo keeper. Same language as over here. Now, what do you think it meant over there, okay? So you're telling me, ki'ilu lo keeper. What's that supposed to mean? That what you're supposed to bring another carbon? Obviously not. You said bein nitan, bein lo nitan kiper. So the only thing Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was talking about was that yes, the guy has a kapora, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not very happy about it, and therefore he wasn't mechaper klapei shamayim. But that's the only way to explain it over here. So if that's the only way to explain it over here, that's probably what it meant in our case that you just brought before. It means exactly in the same case. If you don't do the smicha on the oil, of course the oil is mechaper. But it's just not a ritzoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not happy. That's all. I mean, same thing it means over here. Says Rava, I beg your pardon. I mean, that's your take on it. I mean, we could learn that Mishnah in the Goyim to mean something very concrete and very real, the same way we were applying it over here, the difference between the smicha and the other things. You could say the ki'il lo keeper and the keeper, referring to two different inyanim. Remember, there's a mitzvah that's called matan behonot. So, okay, so there the kohen is supposed to be putting it on his thumb and on his big toe and so on, which includes his ear. But in any event, that's called matan behonot. As far as what was put on his head, that's called matnot harosh. Fine. You still have to put it on the rosh. So maybe there's two completely different things. He was yotze the din of matan behonot. He was not yotze the din of matan harosh. So therefore in the mitzvah, it could be that maybe he still has to come back and he has to put on the shemen on his rosh, you know? So it may mean something very concrete. Same thing it means over here. Don't try to tell me it's just this moral statement that Hashem is not happy with him. It means that he actually didn't get the kapara on the smicha, just like over here, the way I'm understanding it. He didn't get the kapara on the rosh. So you don't have a raya yet. Okay, I'll bring you a raya. I'll bring you a raya that actually an eila is mechaper even on things that take place after the hafrasha. Okay, look at this weird brisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, why do we bring kivsei atzeret? What's that supposed to mean? The kivsei atzeret? The kivsei atzeret are carbon shlamim, as you know perfectly well, and they're not being brought for chatoyin. They're being brought as part of the dinim of being machshir the chodash on shvuas in the Beis Hamikdash to be able to bring the menachos from the chitim hachadoshes. That's what it's for. What do you mean? What are they for? No, sorry. It was misstated. The braisa obviously meant to ask, why are the seirim on atzeret brought? Now, this is a interesting question, because the fact is that there are two Seirim, but they are not really brought under the same rubric. One of them is the regular Seir that's brought together with the Karban Musaf of every single Yontiv. Seir Echad is brought on Rosh Chodesh as well. Seir Echad Lashem is brought. There's always one Seir. So that Seir appears in Parshas Pinchas, in the Karbonos of the Musaf of Shavuos, the same way, word for word, that they appear everywhere else. However, there is a completely different din which was brought not in Parshas Pinchas, but was Dafka brought with the mitzvah of the Hakrova of bringing the Shlomim, it says also, Vasitam Sirazim Echat Lechatat, besides the Zevach HaShlamim of Shnei Kvasim B'nei Shana LeZevach HaShlamim. Now that is a din not in Musaf, that's a din in bringing the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. So that means that you're going to end up with two Seirei Chatat. Now remember the way that we learned in Masechet Shavuos, where we went through what are all of these Seirim for, and so we ended up understanding that it's all being brought al Tumas Migdash V'Kedeshav, and all elements of Tumas V'Kedeshav are handled. The ones that are being brought on Yom Tov, they are where there was no Yediya either Mitchila or Basof. So if ain't bo Yediya lo Betchila v'lo Basof, if you recall the Mishnah, that's what we bring the Seirim for. So now we've got a strange situation, because on Shavuos, we're going to be bringing two Seirim for the same purpose. Because all Seirim brought on Yom Tov are there to be Mechaper al Tumas Migdash V'Kedeshav, She'ein Bo Yediya Lo Betchila V'Lo B'Sof. That's the question. Why do we bring two? That was the real question. So he's asking, Seirei Atzeret Lama Ein Ba'in, the only reason that they're coming is, as we learned in Shavuos, Al Tumas Migdash V'Kedeshav, right? So I ask you, Nizrak Damo Shel Rishon, if the dam was already put on the Mizbeach, why am I bringing the second one? Must be, Amor Me'ata, must be, that it's only for Tuma that took place between one Zrika and the other Zrika. So in that tenth of a second, somebody might have walked in without the idea of Tuma into the Beis HaMikdash, or eaten Kachim with Tuma, without any idea, right? So what does that show you? That basically, the Mizbeach should be running 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, theoretically, and you would be bringing a carbon every minute because there's always a new need to bring a carbon. So, Amor Me'ata, Ru'uyino Yu Yisrael, Lakriv, Korbanotein, B'chol Eitu, B'chol Sha'ah. So it should be a permanent kind of thing, a assembly line of carbonas, because somebody's screwing up somewhere at every moment, right? Okay, that's what you see. It's just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a very makpid not to waste a lot of money. So we have a din, HaTeira Chosa, this is another Gavi idea, and it's Nogel LaHalacha, HaTeira Chosa Al Mamonim Shel Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't waste Klal Yisrael's money. So therefore, we'll put it off until the Yom Tov. But over here, there's two. Now,
on some level, it must be theoretical, right? Because no private person would come and choose to bring a carbon.
What do you mean? Why does he have to come? He came to bring a carbon. He came in to watch the carbonas. He came in to, came in because he had a carbon to eat, you know, from the, who knows? Anyway. Now, this carbon is being brought on this guy, even though the carbon was set aside before Yom Tov. So now if he was chote in the minute between the first Zerik and the second Zerik, it's already after Afrasha. So what do you see from here? You see that the carbon is mechaper even on things that are la'achar hafrosh, at least on the aseh part. And there's always an aseh on Tumas Migdash V'Kedoshav as well. Remember, it's both an aseh of shiluach min ha'machane and a lo taseh. And also it's a mitzvah aseh to be mazir Yisrael from their tumesom. So that's an aseh. Fine. And it's mechaper. So this is a brilliant proof that it's mechaper even la'achar hafrosha, because the hafrosha was done before Yom Tov, and now it's during Yom Tov, and you're just bringing the carbon. And af al pi can we say that any tuma between one and the other is going to be mechaper? Isn't that a brilliant raya? It's marvelous. Yes, marvelous in the event that you had actually bought the carbon and were mafresh it before. But maybe you didn't. Maybe the case is Dafka, where you were mafresh them, not at the same time. There was a 25-minute difference between the hafrosha yesterday and the second hafrosha. We didn't have both animals at the same time. So in the 25 minutes then, not that 25 minutes now between the zrika and the other zrika, in the 25 minutes between the hafrosha of the first one and the second one, that's what it's talking about, that you could be mechaper on. But maybe ain't achinami. Maybe if it's li'achar hafrosha, it would not be mechaper. How do you know it's talking about that they were mufrashim, that I walked into the store and I found both of these karbonas at the same time and walked out with two karbonas that were mufrashim at the same time? You jumped to that conclusion. I say there was 25 minutes in between. So then it's not the half, it's between the half rushes and enochinami. Anything that was la'achar the half rush of the rishain was not included in the kapor of the rishain. And of course, anything after the half rush of the sheni would not be included in the kapor of the sheni. So you can't prove anything from here. Oh, for God's sake. Are you trying to get up there and actually state and not be embarrassed to tell me that the Torah was talking about a case where they walked in and there was a 25 minute. I mean, I'm like, what in the world? This is a mitzvah every year to bring two karbanas. What are the chances that there was 25 minutes between one and the other one? I'm asking you an intelligent question. You're telling me, well, you know, I mean, if they are from it, obviously you can't say that's the case, can you? So somebody's going to actually get up, Valema, he's going to say the pasuk was written in a case where there was 25 minutes between one hafrosha and the other. You got to be kidding. And the Torah's going to write a pasuk for that, like, strange occurrence that every year we're going to do this because, I mean, you never know. Omer of Papa, well, now wait a minute. It sounds funny, but you got to remember, this is a carbon sibur, right? Now, a carbon sibur, remember, they only become kodesh when the bezdin determines that the kedusha should be chal. See, if you're a regular guy and you're buying a carbon, you buy it for that purpose, that's when the kedusha is chal. But when you're dealing with the carbon of the tzibur, then the bezdin that's in charge of dealing with all of the issues in the Beis HaMikdash, they go out of their way and make a t'nai to be the best possible usage of the karban. So what they do is they make a condition. They say, okay, this money is being set aside to buy the second sa'ir for shvuas with the t'nai that the kedusha of the second sa'ir is only chal a minute before yontif, which can give 10 hours difference between the afrosh of the first one and the second one. So what are you telling me? Leku v'lem? No, I'm not telling you that the pasuk was talking about the case. I'm telling you that we see to it that that's the case in order to effectuate the korban. I mean, that makes perfectly good sense. Because we know that there's a concept, that this is another Gavi concept. Where is your beautiful white pen? The lave based in kamasna aleihem, that there's a din. Korbanos tzibur, leiv beitin kamatnaim, the bezdin can make any condition that it wants, like we see Rabbi Yehuda quoting Shmuel, the Amr of Yehuda Meshmuel. Korbanot tzibur, sakin moshachtam lamashahin. The sakin that shechs them, that's the minute in which they're defined. Now, the truth is, this is a very problematic girsa. It probably doesn't belong here at all, because Lamaisa's Rashi points out that in Shavuos, this was the alternative to Leif Bezdin, and he says, get it out of here. Okay, but there are approaches that explain it, so that it's not a steer to the Gemara in Shavuos. But okay, it's not our sugya, and we'll bring it in order to be yotzei all of the dais over here. Omar le Rav Yosef Bered, I think it's supposed to be changed here. Not, there's no Rabbi Yosef Bered Rav Shmuel. I think it's Rabbi Yosef Bered Rav Bishayim. Says to Rav Papa, yeah, that's a great answer, except for one minor problem. You're trying to explain Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that Lev Masna Aleihem. So how in the world is this supposed to work over here? The whole question was Rabbi Shimon Omer. Si'irei Atzeres Lomahem Boyin, right? The whole thing was being said by Rabbi Shimon. Well, I got bad news for you. You happened to pick the wrong case to give me that answer. Because the one person who definitely does not hold that Leif Bezda in his Masna is Rabbi Shimon. So you're back to either asserting that the Torah is talking about a weird case and said the whole pasuk based on that weird case, you better come up with a better answer, you know? And and therefore, Rabbi Shimon, being according to him, Mi Yisrael Rabbi Shimon, Leif Bezda Masna Aliyah, Rav Ide Bar Ovin quotes Rav Amram, quoting Rav Yitzchak, quoting Rav Yochanan. If you have korbanot tamidim that were bought, remember every year we buy new korbanos at the first of Nisan, so that we spend Adar collecting the new money and we bring it to the Beis Hamikdash, the Machatzis HaShekel, and then in the first day of Nisan, we are chadesh, just like zachedesh hazelachem. We are mechadesh our karbonis to start bringing them from the new shkalim. Now, what happens if you have stuff left over from the year before? So, tamidim shelo hutzarchula tzibur, according to Rabbi Shimon, is nothing to do. You can't be poda them if they're tamimim, but according to chachamim, you can. Why? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, it's a function of Leiv. There's no function of Leiv Bezdin Matzna Aliyah. So when you brought those Tamidim with the old money, you can't use them now. What are you going to do with them? There's no Leiv Bezdin to tell you that, well, we didn't put the Kedusha on them under these circumstances. According to the Chachamim, since there was a Tanai Bezdin, that if they're not needed, so then the Kedusha should be batal, and we're only going to make the Kedusha when they're needed. So then you can simply, they're owned by Hegdash, but they don't have Kedusha Zaguf. So then that means you can buy them off of Hegdash and now be Mekadish them again, Kedusha Zaguf, for the purposes of the Tamidim. Now, you can't say it more clearly than this, that according to Rabbi Shimon, there is no din of Leiv Bezdin Masna. That's the whole point that he's breaking. This is a Kabbalah that they have, that this is Rabbi Shimon Shita. So you can't tell me that that's the explanation. So either you're going to go back and you're going to say, all right, I guess I'm going to have to get up and make a fool of myself and claim that the Pusik is talking about this crazy case between the Hafrasha and the other Hafrasha. And it just so happened that we didn't have two Karbanas available at the same time, which I admit is a little bit lame, but what else can I say? But the problem is that even that's not going to work. It's not? No, because it's another problem. But Ode, you can't tell me that it's a function of the question of when the Hafrasha was, that it's a difference between the people that were chayte between the 25 minutes of the first Hafrasha and the second Hafrasha. That's not going to answer your problem. Because Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zeira about what if the two Seirim of Atzeret, you were Mekabel or Dam in two different cups, which of course is what you would have to do. You went ahead and you were Zorik the Dam of the first one. And he asked, well, what are you going to do if you already did the Zrika of the first one? Why does the second one come? Basically, asking your question, according to Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Zera said, well, it comes for the Tuma between the two Zrikas. Now, for God's sake, if we weren't even sure whether Tuma that would come between the two Hafrashas was going to be... Now you're telling me, I forget about Shrita. You already did the Shrita. Now you've got 2 minutes between one Zrika and the next Zrika, and if somebody was Shrita in those 2 minutes, it's going to be Mechaper on the post-Zrika, right? So that, I mean, obviously it's going to be Mechaper on post-Hafrasha. I mean, we never even talked about that. So anyway, you're not going to be able to handle the issue, you know? I mean, because you were only talking about, is it going to be, I mean, Ad kama mi barle ala esa de la achar shchita, but esa la achar Hafrasha lo kami barle. So now the only thing Rabbi Yirmiyah was asking about is, well, it was already shechted, so what's the point? Never occurred to anybody that it was already mufrash. So that means that apparently we're taking that for granted. Yeah, lachar frasha for sure. It would be now. My question is, what about if it's lachar shechita and before the zrika, right? That's my question. But you said that you had a problem of frasha. Well, you're not going to be able to do that anymore. You can't say that Rabbi Shimon was referring to the difference between yesterday's hafrasha if we're talking about what would be the din of the difference between the two zrikas. Well, you know, okay. I mean, that doesn't mean that it wasn't a question. There, remember, there's a concept called im timtzei lomar, right? Im timtzei lomar means in the event that you answer question A in this direction, I have another issue. So that may be the point over here. Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying, in the event that we do have a raya, that it is mechaper le'achar hafrasha, would it also be mechaper le'achar shechita before zrika? That doesn't mean that Rabbi Yirmiyah took for granted what the din was about le'achar hafrasha. He may have simply stated this in two separate stages. First of all, what's the din le'achar hafrasha? And in the event that you tell me the din is it's mechaper, what would be the din le'achar shechita? So it could have just been said as an im timtzei lomar, but it's not as if we knew that. Okay, so then we don't really actually know what's going on. Okay, I mean, this is basically Rabbi Zeira. I mean, I can't bring a raya from Rabbi Zeira. I mean, this is maybe his personal opinion. But that means we do not actually have, as Rashi points out, we do not have a raya to the original question at this point. Itmar. So let me talk about a different idea. Now, this is a fascinating twist on the question of Shinui Kodesh. Now, you remember that at the beginning of our understanding, the differences between Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Baalim, we explained that there is no meaning at all to Shinui Baalim during Shechita. There's no meaning at all to Shinui Baalim during Kabbalah. There's no meaning to Shinui Baalim during Halacha. The only thing that's important in Shinui Baalim is, of course, the question of the Zrika, because it's the Zrika Saddam that would be Mechaper. And therefore, if you're going to change the person for whom it's Mechaper, it would have to be in terms of that Halacha.